All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 1 is where we're going to be this morning as we talk about continuing our series, Following Jesus. And this morning you can see on the bulletin, it says, use the title of Our Daily Delight. I don't know if you're a parent, I'm sure that you remember back to whenever your kids were first born and it's just happening, there you are. And there's all kinds of emotions and these this deep sense of love for your kids that you have, and as they have just been born, and there's all kinds of things going through your mind, and you're just looking forward to, and you're hoping the best for them. You want them to experience all the good things in life. You want them to experience a blessed life. You want them to grow into young men and women who are going to enjoy and have contentment and peace and joy and all kinds of goodness, and that they would know that they are loved and cherished more than they could even know. And even more importantly, that they were created by a God who loves and cares for them more than that they could comprehend, and that they would trust and follow him wherever and through whatever he leads them through. And those are all the kinds of things that ran through my mind whenever, you know, God blessed us with children as he has through the years. And when they were young and looking forward to, who knew what was going to come, that was the desire that we have as parents for our kids. And I'm sure that you're no different, because no one wants a life for their kid or themselves other than for them to know that kind of life, right? And so with a baby, while there's all kinds of things that you have no clue about, but that you will learn very quickly, what you really want to know more than anything else is how to lead and to guide your children and them towards knowing that happiness in life that we as Christians know is only found in Jesus. And so for every single one of us, isn't that something that we all would like to experience, to live in a world? We live in a world that is full of people who are searching for joy and for happiness and for peace and purpose in all kinds of different places. Our world tells us that all that kind of stuff is found in things or experiences or money, success, influence, cars, clothes, popularity, having a certain person in your life, or even in something as simple as if you would just be in shape. But if we're honest, while none of those things in and of themselves are bad, we know that those are not the solution. That is not what fills our souls. We can point to a number of different examples just as we look at the world of folks who are searching, who have it all and have everything it seems, but yet they're without hope and they're without peace and they're still searching. And we know people who have little in the world's eyes, but yet seem to have everything. And so we know that happiness and a blessed life is found in something else. And so wouldn't it be great to know how to experience the blessed life? And that's what we want to look at this morning in Psalm chapter 1. 2 weeks ago, we started through this series that we're just calling simply Following Jesus. And the idea is that we want to encourage some rhythms and habits and practices in our lives that are going to help us to grow, to know Jesus more, to become more like Jesus. Practices that we can be intentional with. And so we started in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and sort of like the summary verse for everything that we're working through here. And Jesus said this. He said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In verse 24, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And Jesus was making it really simple here. And he's saying that if you are a follower of me, then this is what it looks like. This was what it means to be a Christian. If you're going to be my disciple, then this is what it means. It means living a life that is centered on him. It's no longer a life that is centered on you, but it's one that is surrendered to him, living for his glory. It's a daily habit. But not only that, but Jesus is also saying that it's also, life is also found in experiencing and in living this way. And so in these coming weeks, with following Jesus as our goal and becoming more like him as our goal, we want to go through some different practices and habits that we can put into our lives, and I know that they're very much a part of many of our lives, but just to encourage us to continue to move in that direction. And so last week we started with prayer, and we talked about that, and we looked at Luke chapter 11, and we really focused in on the first two verses of the Lord's Prayer, or the first petition of it in verse 2, where the petition is this: Father, hallowed be your name. And that's our desire, that more than anything, that God, you would be glorified in my life. And I hope this week, as we've spent time, as you've spent time, just spending time in prayer, that you did each day, and that was number one thing, that God, would you be glorified in my life? God, would you be glorified in my family, in my community, in our nation? Lord, might you be honored, and may your name be hallowed. And so this morning, we want to consider the psalmist's words to help us move further along in this, and look at another practice that will move us closer to becoming more like Jesus and trusting him more. Jesus said that this understanding and experiencing of life, of the blessed life, comes from knowing him. John 14:6 says this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Where is life found? Life is found in Jesus. In Matthew 19:29, he said this: And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Life is found in Jesus. It's in surrendering everything to him and following after him. And so just as a father who's desiring to help do all that he can to understand and experience God's grace and his mercy and where this blessed life is, I believe that God's heart is the same towards in each and every one of us. That his desire is for us to know that blessed life. And so he doesn't leave us unawares as to how we can do that, but he gives us his word. And here, as the psalmist writes in Psalm 1, we are encouraged in this also. And so let's read Psalm 1 together. Psalmist writes this: Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So how do we experience this blessed life? How do we experience this? Verse 1 starts out with this phrase, blessed is the man. And right off the bat, there's this word of blessed, which is the main point of this psalm. Blessedness, in essence, means completely happy. It's like, happy is the man, completely happy, completely satisfied is the man. And then the psalmist begins to lay out how it is that this man experiences this happy, blessed life. And so to do so, and to help us understand what that looks like, he uses the analogy of two pictures here. And the first one is that of walking. He speaks of the man's journey, where the blessed life is found, by saying the course of a man's life, a person's life, is shaped by the steps that a person takes. It's what we're focusing on in this series, that it's all these decisions, habits, practices that we want to encourage to help us lead in a certain direction. And so where are the little steps that we are taking? Where are they putting us? Where are they taking us? Where are those decisions taking us? We might think it would be nice if life was such that over here is the goal, and that we could just say, hey, that's the goal I'd like to get to, and we just jump right to it. But that's not how life works. We have to take steps to get there, and that's what we've been talking about over the past 2 weeks. It's a journey. And here's where the psalmist is telling us that essentially there are two paths, two ways to live, and only one of them leads to true happiness and the blessed life and blessing. And showing us how to know the blessed life, he first describes the path that leads to the opposite of God's blessing, the opposite of God's peace, the opposite of contentment, meaning is he shows us where the path that leads to disappointment, to dissatisfaction, frustration, pain, and hopelessness is. It's what he calls the way of the wicked. And here's what he says about the one way that a person can live that doesn't lead to happiness. He says the person who will not know true happiness is the person who walks where? In the counsel of the wicked. He's the one who listens to the advice, and he watches the practices of those who want to have nothing to do with God. He walks in this place, but just as anything starts out, there he is walking, and he moves from walking with people as he becomes all the more comfortable with walking with them to where it tells us that there he is, and he's standing. And he's standing in the council in the way of sinners. But it doesn't even stay there. It continues on. You see the progression that is happening here from walking with the wicked to standing with the wicked to now finally sitting in the place of scoffers. This is the way of the wicked. And then we get a picture here of the other path, and it is the way of the righteous. Already in verse 1, the psalmist has shown us that the blessed man is the righteous man who does not listen to ungodly counsel. He's the kind of guy who doesn't want to have anything to do with those who don't want to have anything to do with God, and those who laugh at the idea of honoring the Lord. And while those are not the things that he does, what does he do? And here verse 2 tells us what he does. Verse 2 says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What does he do? This is a practice that we want to look at this morning. It's simply just to read our Bibles, that we would read our Bibles, that we would get in God's word and read scripture. And that's what this man does. It's what we're calling our daily delight. He is delighting in the law of the Lord. He embraces God's word. He takes great joy in it. He takes pleasure and enjoyment in God's word. And we're not talking about a guy here who is just spending time reading God's word because he has to or he's supposed to, but he's reading God's word and he's spending time just meditating and listening and reading God's word because he wants to and because he loves it. He delights in it. He doesn't stop. He thinks upon God's word. He meditates on it. What does it say? Day and night. He is reflecting on it. He's carrying God's word with him all day long. He's carrying it with him through whatever it is that he's journeying through. Maybe it's a hard season of life. Maybe it's a difficult season. Maybe he's got a decision to make, and he's just carrying God's word with him through it all, whatever it is. It's shaping his perspective. On whatever it is that he's facing, he's mindful of God's truths and God's promises to him. He's all the more able to recognize God's presence in his life and how God is speaking to him because he's been spending time in God's word and getting to know God's voice. Just think of something that you delight in, something that you enjoy. What happens as you delight in it, as you enjoy it, you just begin to think upon it all the more. When we think upon and reflect upon God's word, grace thrives. You know, how we extend grace to others, it grows. Prayerfulness grows. Our prayer life picks up. We are ever singing the praises of God, and our work for the Lord is all the more powerful as we spend time in God's word. In verse 3, the psalmist now moves on and he gives another picture of comparison to help us see a little bit better what the results of this blessed life of delighting in the law of the Lord is. He says it's like a tree that bears fruit. He's healthy, he's alive, and his leaves aren't dying, but rather his life is life-giving like that of a healthy tree. He's a tree that is prospering. But there's all this contrasting and this comparison going on in this psalm. But unlike that, what is the way of the wicked? We're told that the life of living for self and wickedness is one that can be summed up by being like the chaff or the worthless part of the grain that the wind just blows away and isn't worth anything. Now you just read that and you think of that. It's like, do you want your life to matter? Here Jesus, or the psalmist, is saying, this is how to live your life. He's saying the fruitful life, the blessed life, is one that is shaped by, that's found in delighting in God's word and meditating on it, which leads to living for the Lord. But before the psalmist ends there in verse 5, he has one more thing that he has to share that is so important. All throughout this psalm, we find that there's two paths to walk in this life, and there's two ways to live. There's the wicked, and there's the way of the righteous. The way of the wicked is the path that leads, that is described as that which laughs at anything that aims to honor the Lord. And is a life that doesn't last, it doesn't bear fruit. However, the way of the righteous is that which aims to honor the Lord in everything, delighting and meditating on God's word. and is a life that bears fruit and it prospers. And here in the final two verses, in case there's any question as to the result of these two ways of life, the psalmist now informs us that there is a judgment coming, that all that has been said matters, because there is a judgment coming, and the way of the wicked, well, what? It's going to perish. But not so the way of the righteous. And so, friends, this morning, what does this passage have to say to you and me about the importance of spending time in reading God's word? It couldn't be any more important. What's the connection to helping you in following Jesus and experiencing the blessed life? What does it have to say about the steps that you are taking and the path that you are on and where it's leading? Here's a few things that I want you to encourage you to consider this morning in regards to spending time in God's word, making it a daily habit in your life. Firstly, reading the Bible helps you quiet those voices that will lead you in the wrong way. Guys, we know it. There are all kinds of voices coming at us, all kinds of different ways, all kinds of messages, and trying to get in our heads and influence us in various directions. And so my question to you is, who are the voices that you're letting influence you? Who's your company? Who is it that you're spending your time with? Who are you keeping close to you? Is it company that is going to spur you on in the right direction? Is it company that is laughing and scoffing at the things of the Lord? Or is the company that you're keeping close to, is it company that is going to encourage you to simply trust in the Lord, like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Is that what it's saying? Trust in the Lord. The company you keep shapes you in direction of your life more than you know. 1 Corinthians 15:33, we know these verses. We tell these things to our kids all the time. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Or Proverbs 13:20-21, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. Do you want to become wise? Then walk with the wise. Want to know good rewards and stay away from disaster? Then it's simple. Stick with the righteous. Listen to his voice. And we do that by spending time in his word. And so watch your company. Watch. And watch your steps. Be careful. And so reading the Bible helps you quiet those voices that will lead in the wrong way. And reading the Bible is a delight. You know, that's the thing that's right at the center of this. Reading your Bible is a delight. Let it be a delight. Are you delighting in God's word? Are you delighting? Are you thinking upon? Are you reflecting upon God's word? Are you spending time in his word daily? The main thing that shapes our lives is what we're thinking about, that which we are filling our minds with. Are you allowing the truths of God's word to sink in deep? Are you soaking in them? Are the glories of the gospel that which you are meditating on each day? God's word, it's amazing how it fits reality. God's word is true, and that's why the blessed man delights in it. God knows how life works. And in God's word, we get to understand and have direction. He's the creator of it all. As you know God more through his words, you're going to become a more life-giving person. In the midst of whatever you're going through, you can know peace and you can know contentment as you read God's word and delight in it in the midst of whatever you're going through, because as it talks about this man like a tree that is fruitful, his roots are going deep. Maybe you're hearing this about delighting right now and you're saying, I understand that, but right now, it's not a delight. Sometimes it's hard. And I understand that. And there are seasons for that, but I want to encourage you to keep on going and keep on reading, and your love for it and your delight in it will grow. I was thinking about that this week. I was like, maybe it's like, there's been those seasons in my life where maybe you get away from just the simple thing of exercising. But whenever you start to exercise, it's hard, but then you keep on going and it becomes more like enjoyable and fun, and then you actually like it, like running. Like, it just gets fun, and maybe some of you can't even understand that. Like, it's no fun at all, Derek. But it is, because you spend time with it and you're developing that love for it. And you have other examples in your own life, but the more you spend time with, are you delighting in? Are you developing that delight? And thirdly, Bible reading promotes perseverance and it sustains us. It'll keep you going. You know, there's going to be seasons that are hard and they're difficult, but the more that you spend time in God's Word, the more you're going to find strength to keep on going. And so with that said, here's just a few practical tips for reading your Bible. First, I want to encourage you to, if you don't have a plan already, pick a plan. There's a load of plans out there, or a devotional, or some guide that you follow. Just pick one that you will use. Don't try to pick one that is, you know, you're reading through the Bible a whole lot of times in a year, or maybe just pick one where you're reading through the Psalms in a year. Pick, you know, something that you will read, something simple. We got these one-minute Bible devotionals that we're going to hand out to our teens. And just anything to encourage the habit of spending time in God's Word. But don't just pick a plan, but also prioritize it. Maybe it's the first thing you do whenever you wake up, that your thing is you're going to get up, and you're going to just go, and you're going to open up your Bible, and you're going to spend time in God's Word. Maybe it's you get your coffee, or if you drink coffee, your breakfast, whatever, sit and just spend time reading it together. Maybe it's at the end of a day, you know, or maybe it's at lunch. You get some time by yourself. However it is, there's plenty of resources and ways to encourage this. But make it a priority. And as you're reading prayerfully, you know, how are you reading? And I want to encourage you just to prayerfully read. As you're reading through it, maybe there's a phrase or maybe there's something, just pray and just pray through the scriptures. I love doing that with the Psalms. As you read through it and you just pray, that's what they are. They're prayers, and just praying through the Psalms and asking God, because sometimes scripture helps give words to our prayers for us and guides us in that. And as you read, surrender and respond to it, and saying in the midst of all, Lord, what am I learning about you as I'm reading through this? What am I learning about me? God, what are you calling me to do? And then respond to that. You know, just some of these simple things. What is God trying to show you? And as you read, in light of the cross, just think about where are you as you're reading, whatever you're reading, where is that in light of the cross? And the hope that we have in him. There's two paths that I want you to know, and I want you to know that how you live your life matters. And who you live your life for matters, because there's judgment that is coming. And the path that you have walked will matter. And there is one that leads to life and happiness, and there is one that leads to death. And so how do you know the blessed life? Here it is. The blessed life, it is not about works. It is not about works, but it is about God's grace. And it's only because of God's grace that we can know the transforming work of God, God's work, and the work of Christ in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you want to know life? It's found in Jesus. That's why he came. None of this is about being perfect and following rules, but it is only possible because Jesus came and he paid the price so that we don't have to. And so this morning, just in closing, as a father, I want to do the best that I can do to point my kids in the direction so that they would know the joy and the hope and the peace that there is in following Jesus. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to try to give them a framework to live their lives within, not because I want to keep them from something, but because I want to protect them something. It's not because I want something from them, but it's because I want something for them. And as we look at this psalm, it's that heart that we see our loving, gracious God giving us direction in. He knows how this life works. He knows how this world works. He knows how relationships work. He knows how our hearts work. He knows what's down the paths and steps of certain directions that we take. He's the one that created it all. He's the one who knows. He's the one who sees what we can't see. And he loves you. And so this morning I want to ask you, Maybe you're a teenager and you're just thinking about what the next steps are in your life. Maybe you're here and you're wrestling with a career change. Maybe something unexpected and unwanted has come across your path, and you have a decision to make. And the question is, will you trust him? Will you follow him? Who are you going to turn to? Who are you going to lean on through it all? And who are you going to surround yourself with? Whose voice are you going to listen to? Is your heart at peace? Is your heart content? Do you know joy and purpose? Are you living for yourself, or are you living according to God's word? Because no matter what we're going through, we can know joy unspeakable, and we can know the blessed life as we meditate on God's word. God's word. He's the one in whom God's word says life is found. It's all about Jesus, and as we want to become more like Jesus, as we're following after him, I want to encourage you to hold on to and to delight in God's word. I was looking at this one of my a newer Bible, because my old Bible, that is, I really like this model of the Bible, and so I got the same one. But the one before this, it was just falling apart. There was duct tape holding it together and everything, and I hope that this one gets in the same way like that, because it's been used, because it's been opened. And I hope that your Bibles get worn out also, because you're spending time in God's word and you're wanting to know him and you're knowing Jesus more. And so let's put that into practice. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your word and the joy and the hope that we can have as we rest our lives on you. And God, this morning, as we read through what the psalmist has to say, we are reminded again and again of, Lord, just what a gift it is that we get to delight in your word. And so, Lord, may we not take that lightly. Might we make it a priority in our lives. Sometimes it's easy to get away from spending time with you and getting in your word. But, Lord, may we delight in it. And may we meditate on it. And, God, as we do so, might we experience your presence and your nearness and your direction. May we hear your voice moving and speaking to us, and may we apply it to our lives so that you would be glorified. That's the goal. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for our benediction. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. So go now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.